All right, 9:13 is our time, and we will go ahead and rearrange a few things here and send it over to Dusty, as he is at 8-man All-Star Game practices over in Beloit. Go ahead, Dusty.
Yes, sir. We are here at Division II West practices here on Katy Country 94. We're happy to be here. Day three, I guess, for these guys in practices today. And we're joined now by Mason Baker of Thunder Ridge, Brody Bashman of Sylvan Lucas, our Northern Plains League representatives here on the West squad. We'll start with Mason, then we'll let you get back to practice working on routes, it looks like, right now. So I know you're a jack of all trades at Thunder Ridge on offense and played a lot of different positions. Again, we're talking with Mason Baker. What's the opportunity been like, and what are you working on here? I don't want to give the game plan away or anything, but do you know what position you'll be playing and what you're going to be working on here on Saturday?
Mostly receiver, I think. Just running routes and catching the ball.
What's it been like now to, as I said, you have had, now this will be your fifth practice probably, and you've been able to acclimate yourself to the team and the guys. What's it been like to see what kind of talent you do have and being able to gel with them?
Oh, it's been really fun, actually, getting to hang out with new guys, form a new team. I mean, everybody here is talented. They're all all-stars, you know, so it's fun forming a great team and loving it.
Now, Joshua, your teammate was supposed to be here, but he couldn't make it because some military things that I talked to you about earlier this week. But what's it mean for you to be kind of carrying this tradition on for Thunder Ridge here at the All-Star Games this week?
It's a great honor, and I feel like it's a huge responsibility that I have to show our Longhorn pride from back home. But, yeah, it's a truly great honor.
Jason Baker, we'll let you get back to practice. Thanks for the time, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Brody Bashman with us now, the Sylvan Lucas star lineman early in his career, now running back, and it looks like you're going to be doing a lot of different things offensively too, and we're running routes with the group here. As you've had a chance to kind of gel in, what do you see your role being on Saturday?
Yeah, I think I'll be mostly on defense. Playing a lot of linebacker these last few days, and during our scrimmage last night, we kind of got settled in, so.
How big is that to actually get back into that part of it, to do that scrimmage last night and understand what it's like to hit again? Because I know you've taken a little bit of time off since you've done that.
Yeah, I mean, it's that feeling. You can only find it in one place, and that's on the field, and it's just amazing to get. So,
another thing, I was talking with you earlier this week, a unique situation for your family, really. Your brother Bo was selected to play in this game and never got the chance because of COVID, so you're kind of carrying that torch not only for Sylvan but for your family as well. How important is it to you to make sure you understand what that means for you and to be able to have this opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great honor. I get to rub it in Bo's face, which is a little nice, but no, it's an honor to be here and be selected and be able to play with these guys. There's a lot of great guys out here, so.
Bashman from Sylvan Lucas, appreciate the time. Best of luck this week.
Appreciate it.
Those are the two Northern Plains League representatives from the Division II West squad. Everybody else in Division II will be in the East, and we'll talk with them hopefully at practice tomorrow. And that's where we're at right now. People are getting these teams are getting all their offenses and systems put in at the moment. And it's a process that started again on Tuesday afternoon, and they've had practices throughout yesterday and then going into this morning as well. So you can tell all these teams, they're 8-man all-stars, so they're smart kids. They pick things up quick, so it doesn't take long to get systems in. And it's pretty obvious that both of the teams that I'm looking at here this morning have some stuff very well placed and ready to go already for Saturday. They're just fine-tuning now toward the end of the week.
So what stands out? What are your early impressions, Dusty?
Well, again, I've not seen a lot because this is the first morning I've actually been at practice and being able to be around everybody. But this D2 West team does look like they've got some athletes on the team. Looks like they're, I would guess, a team that will try to use the air attack a little bit and try to do those things. The D1 West, it's always interesting looking at the Division I West squad because they're usually, those Western Kansas kids are usually the beef, and they've definitely got some size this year. But it does look like they do have some athleticism in their backfield. Kind of right now I'm watching them run an offense that's kind of spread out. So don't know exactly if that's all they'll be doing. But they do, again, these two teams that I'm seeing right now, you can tell that they've already kind of gelled and they understand what's going on and they're pretty much together already at this point.
At the luncheon that they have that is put on by the Odyssey Club, used to be Lions, and then in conjunction with the Rotary Club yesterday, I thought a really good question, that's a question I haven't heard, I think, ever since I've been going to those luncheons. I don't know if you've heard this question before or not, and I thought it was a really astute question, and that was, What do you have any kind of restrictions or rules to get these kids back into hitting shape? Because they haven't put on the pads for a long time. They haven't went and drilled somebody and tackled somebody. And I thought the answers are very interesting about, hey, you know, we're not taking guys down to the ground very hard. We're being careful with them. Obviously, they're going to let loose on Saturday during the games, but they're kind of ramping kids up. And I thought that was a really good question.
Absolutely, and I've actually, as we've covered these games, I've seen that kind of change in practices as we've gone on. I think the first year we were doing these games, there was a kid that like broke a foot like the first day of practice, mm-hmm. and I think that people started understanding, hey, let's not go so hard here at the beginning. Let's get them accustomed. Let's get them ready. I have definitely seen that kind of shift in philosophy of how people practice here early in the week compared to when you get late. Even in the scrimmages that you used to see when they first started doing that, like scrimmaging D1 West against D2 West, it was some of those scrimmages were actually pretty physical early on when they just started doing that. But those have lightened up a little bit, and one of the coaches yesterday, too, said that'll be where the most contact happens would be in our scrimmages, but we still try to make sure everybody's doing the right thing there. So there's definitely been a shift in that. I did like that question as well because there's a lot of people that don't quite understand that getting in football shape and then getting in hitting shape are two totally different things.
What do you have planned for our listeners coming up later today and tomorrow?
Yeah, today, like we had this morning, we have a feature on the Osborne Bulldog All-Stars that are playing, Doak Guttery and Nathan Goheen for the Division II East squad. So we have that feature, and you can find it on the website at 8manallstars.com. All of our production and covers that we have here this week, as long as I've done a story on it on the radio, the story is posted at 8manallstars.com. And so we'll talk about Osborne today, and then tomorrow we have a chance to you'll learn more about Mason Baker of Thunder Ridge and Brody Batchman of Sylvan Lucas, and then the Lincoln representation at the All-Star Game coming up tomorrow as well for the Division I West. So, yeah, that's the plan here for the next couple of days, but more on Osborne here coming up today on our sportscast this afternoon and this evening.
Yeah, well, the pep rally tomorrow, 4 to 5 at Chautauqua Park there in Beloit, so come on down. Looks like the weather will be pretty good. And then Saturday I saw a high of 81 for the game, so the players would love that, especially those playing in the afternoon. D1 game at 10 o'clock, our pregame coverage at 9:30 on the 8-Man All-Star Game Radio Network, and right here locally, Katie Kutch 94 and katiekutch94.com. Division 2 game, which will feature pretty much all our area athletes for the most part, will be the D2 game at 1:30, pregame at 1 o'clock. If the first game is pass happy, then we might be starting that game later like we did a year ago. We shall see. So that's the schedule. All of that available at 8manallstars.com. Dusty, big news. Mecole Hardman coming back to the Chiefs. I believe we predicted that.
Yeah, that kind of made sense with all the stuff going on with the wide receiver room in the offseason. And obviously he knows the system and had a pretty big catch in the Super Bowl. So I think, yeah, we both kind of expected that to happen.
And he didn't even realize he won the Super Bowl when he caught it. But
exactly.
But all I care is he caught it. All I care is he caught it. That's the key.
Exactly.
And then before we let you go, I got a lot of things to touch upon, but I want you to touch upon this here. The Super Regional schedule, of course, K-State baseball team in the Super Regional for only the second time in program history, the first time since 2013. A best of three series, they open up tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. You can watch on ESPNU and listen on the K-State radio network. They'll take on number 16, Virginia. K-State 35-24, and Virginia is the number 12 national seed. I have had reports that there's a ton of K-State people already there in Charlottesville, Virginia. And they are ready to go to cheer on the Wildcats. So quite the following, and K-State trying to make it to the College World Series for the first time in school history. It's been a pretty good year or two here for K-State athletics, and last year K-State felt like they were kind of got the shaft and didn't make it to the tournament. This year they beefed up their non-con. They got in a tournament, and Dusty, like I said, it's been a pretty good run for sports all the way across the board for K-State the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you see right away that it's like a lot of fan bases, right? When you have a winner, the fans are going to ride them. And they had a very good contingent down at Fayetteville, too, it looked like, for the regional. So I'm not surprised at all that they're headed to Charlottesville here, a little early summer trip to take the family maybe and take in some baseball. But, yeah, it's been impressive to see, you know, the women's basketball team making it all the way up to number 2 in the country. And obviously we know what Coach Kleiman has done with the football program, winning the Big 12 championship a couple years back. And men's basketball with Tang taking them to the Elite Eight. So, yeah, it's been a great run here for K-State Athletics. And Gene Taylor has proven that he's probably the right man for the job and why he's had success. It's been interesting and fun to watch. And the regional was wild. It was fun to watch for the baseball team. And you know, obviously people are going to think Virginia's the favorite here in this super regional, but everybody thought Arkansas was a favorite too. Mm-hmm. So if they keep playing like they are and continue to kind of scratch together runs in a lot of different ways, based on what I watched in the regional, you know, they did some power hitting, they did some of the small ball, and that last game was like 10 singles is how they scored all their runs. So they're doing it a lot of different ways, and all it takes at this time of year is to get hot. And so they seem to be that right now, but there's a little bit of a delay here, obviously, in travel to Virginia. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But, yeah, the fans definitely are going to follow that when you get to this level at K-State. I think they've proven that time and again in multiple different sports.
K-State, Virginia, 6 o'clock tomorrow night, first of possibly three. It's a 2 out of 3 series. Win 2, you move on to the College World Series. Game 2 Saturday at 2 o'clock, and then, if necessary, a decisive third game be played Sunday at 2 o'clock. And the winner, as I mentioned, advances to the College World Series in Omaha. And real quickly, before I let you leave, I'll talk about KU here in just a little bit, about their basketball team and what's happening with them. And the NBA Finals is tonight. So two things I want to get to. NBA Finals, what's your prediction? Mavs, Celtics, you sticking with Celtics?
Yeah, I said Boston in 6. I think I'm going to stick with that.
I'll stick with the Mavs in 7. I'll stick with that. And then there is big news coming out today that the Lakers are closing in on grabbing their new head coach, which would be Dan Hurley, the head coach of Connecticut. And this could be earth-shattering because, on the college landscape of things in basketball, because UConn could be the preseason number one next year. They've won back-to-back titles. Who would replace Dan Hurley at UConn if he took the job with the Lakers? We do not know. It's kind of late in the game. And with him leaving, every player on that roster would have a 30-day window to transfer. Can you imagine how much money is going to be thrown at some of these top kids are at UConn, and how this could change and be a trickle-down effect? Can you imagine if Kansas, I'm just giving an example, Kansas all of a sudden goes, we can really get this kid because we missed out on him before. We didn't expect him to be available, but now suddenly Dan Hurley goes to the Lakers. So Kansas goes and gets this guy, and then guess what they do? They tell one that they already picked up on the portal, you know what? Yeah, sorry, bud, but you're out, or you're probably not going to play as much, and then that kid changes his mind. It could be a major trickle-down effect and could be a gigantic mess. So that's the news, is that Dan Hurley and Lakers are talking about a deal for him to become the head coach of Lakers. And he said all along, I don't want to coach college basketball anywhere else but UConn. But he said he did have some interest in NBA. You talk about just a earthquake, and there'll be tremors felt across the country if Dan Hurley leaves because of the transfer portal. This would be a great example of it.
Yeah, and this is another great example of why NIL exists in my mind, right?
Yeah.
Like, coaches can leave, the players can't in the old system, right? Mm-hmm. And they just can't up and go wherever they want. And this would be a perfect example of why you have a different system now. Because the coach is going to leave his program, possibly, again, hanging here in June.
Yeah.
And you're getting started, getting ready to start up the workouts, probably, at UConn and get ready for the next season here. So, you know, in the NBA, obviously, this is an ideal time because you probably want to have a coach before you hit the draft. But it's not ideal at all for college sports and college hoops in particular. And, yeah, absolutely. But with the NIL that we think this is why you have to have it, it comes into the play of exactly what you were talking about with the transfer portal being part of that. And, you know, it doesn't matter what time of the year it is, guys can leave if their coach leaves. So It does seem like the Wild West at times, like Mark Johnson always says, right?
Yeah.
So it just is kind of crazy. I don't like this part of it, to be completely honest with you, but I understand that this has to be part of it if you want to have the grand scheme of things of having, you know, flexibility for these players and basically the rights that they probably should have anyway. So it is going to change a lot, though, if that does go through and he goes there, because, yeah, I mean, you could even recent guys that KU's picked up or something might be like, oh, we didn't know UConn was going to have some players come.
Yeah.
So, or any schools, Duke, whoever would want to try to get those kids. And it's like, you know, it changes, yeah, not only the lives of the UConn players there, but also in effect would have a, like you say, trickle-down effect that would in a seismic blast that would change a lot. So it is kind of crazy when you kind of go in and look at the in deep part of that.
not only the players, but then you have a coaching vacancy at UConn,
and
that would be pretty attractive. But you're late in the game here in June, and so then if somebody takes the job, which somebody will, then they're going to leave that program in a lurch unless it's somebody that's retired or doesn't have a job currently that becomes a new head coach at UConn. So there's major ramifications across the college basketball landscape if he goes to be the head coach of the Lakers, not only from a player transfer portal situation and a 30-day window for all those players in UConn, but also it could be another coaching carousel domino effect as well. Crazy stuff, man. Crazy stuff. Hey, great job as always, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning on the ticket. I'm sure you'll have more from the practices that we talked about, and once again, all the coverage, you can check it out, 8manallstars.com. Dusty, we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
You bet. Dusty Dinos, our sports director, live from the 8-Man All-Star Game practices there in Beloit. In 30 seconds, we'll tell you about a team that is one win away from a four-peat.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Did you know that we sell tires? We also perform alignments and all the other services that go along with them. We handle all the top brands. Extras like road hazard warranty, complimentary tire rotations, and complimentary tire repairs are available for purchase on most tires. Right now, we are offering $80 off when you buy a set of four. Call or stop by Kiever Brothers Automotive for fast, friendly tire services today. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit or on the web at KieverBrothers.com.
Well, you kind of had the feeling when Oklahoma dodged a gigantic bullet against Florida that they're going to be okay the rest of the way, right? And they did that. They made it to the championship series. And last night, Oklahoma, who's won three softball titles in a row, looking for a four-peat, they took care of Texas by a final of 8-3. Oklahoma number two in the country, Texas number one, both from the Big 12, and they'll both three from the SEC starting, next week or whenever the official, all the sports are done for this collegiate season, because you still have some baseball going on, as we mentioned. Sooners led 7-1 going in the sixth and end up winning it. They're up 1-0 in the best of three series. Oklahoma can finish off their fourth straight national championship with a win tonight. Texas hopes to force a deciding third game. First pitch for game two is tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN. This is a sports ticket brought to you by Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repairs. You mentioned super regional schedule for this weekend, K-State's best of three series at number 16, Virginia. They'll begin tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in Charlottesville, Virginia. Already a lot of K-State fans there ready to cheer on the Cats. Wildcat baseball team under Pete Hughes, 35-24. Virginia's 44-15, that the 12th overall seed and seeded 12th nationally. That series will start tomorrow, 6 o'clock, first pitch, and then Saturday, game two at 2. And if there is a third game that is needed, then that'll be played Sunday at 2. All the games at Charlottesville, Virginia. And you can watch all those games on ESPNU. And it's the second super regional program history for K-State, their first since 2013. In KU sports news, in men's college hoops, KU received some bad news yesterday as Coach Bill Self announced that guard Amelko Jackson will miss the upcoming season after tearing the patellar tendon in a workout during a camp on Tuesday. Self said in a statement, and I quote, "We are all crushed by this. Jackson's had a terrific spring. He has worked so hard and improved so much. This will be a challenge that we will meet head on, and he will return as good as ever. Amelko Jackson will have surgery to repair the tear, and it will take about a year to fully recover. But Kansas recovered pretty quickly in regards to finding a guard, whether they were going to bring him on anyway or if he's going to replace Amelko Jackson. Former Mississippi State guard Shaquille Moore has committed to KU. The 6'1" senior is from Greensboro, North Carolina, averaged 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 47% from the field, 36% for 3 for Mississippi State. He began his college career at North Carolina State, played a single season there before the last 3 years at Mississippi State, so KU would be his third and, you would hope, final collegiate school. So KU loses a guard but picks up a guard in the transfer portal. In baseball, the Royals and Guardians had their game yesterday rained out. Makeup game has been scheduled as part of a doubleheader on August the 26th. Two teams will finish their now two-game series this afternoon at 12:10. Brady Singer is 4-2, ERA at 2.63. He'll be on the mound against Tanner Bibee of the Guardians, who is 4-1, ERA at 3.74. Royals trailing the Guardians by 5 games in American League Central, battle of the top two teams in the Central. What's crazy is 4 teams in American League Central have winning records. The entire National League has 4 teams with a winning record. So the Royals are in the wrong division, in the wrong league. And for years we've been saying, they're in the right division because the AL Central is usually the weakest. But this year, it's the Twins are pretty solid. The Tigers are improved. The White Sox stink. The Guardians and the Royals have vastly improved. So it's a much, much improved division than from a year ago. All right. After being idle since May 30th, it's almost like the NBA season ended and you didn't even know it. Oh, wait a minute. You thought it did. But we didn't know that there's still games to be played. The NBA Finals begin Game 1 finally tonight. Celtics looking for their 18th championship in franchise history, their first since 08 when they had Garnett, Pierce, and Allen. Mavericks hoping for their second title since winning their only title in 2011 when they beat the Heat. That was Dirk Nowitzki and the Mavericks knocking off the Heat. Boston holds hosts Game 1 at 7:30 tonight on ABC. Dusty picked the Celtics in 6. I'm going with my gut here. My brain tells me pick the Celtics. That seems to be the obvious pick. But my gut's telling me I'm going to go with the guys that can close the game at the end. I'm not convinced Tatum and Brown are going to close it as consistently, and I think a lot of these games will come down to the wire. And if that's the case, I like Luka and I like Kyrie to close these games. At the same time, if Luka is 100%, well, nobody's 100% now, but if he's not where he needs to be physically health-wise, and then is Porzingis going to play for the Celtics? How effective is he? And I think it really is going to come down to, everybody talks about the stars, I get all that, but it's probably going to come down to whose role players play the best. And if PJ Washington, Derek Lively, and Derrick Jones play well for the Mavericks, then they got a really good chance. But if the Celtics, Derek White and Al Horford and these guys go lights out, then, hey, it's probably lights out for the Mavericks. But the Celtics have more talent, I think. The Celtics have a deeper roster. They definitely have more guys that can go off for 20 to 30 points a game. So on paper, you should pick the Celtics. But I'm just going with my gut here. I think the Mavericks defensively have really improved over the year. They're gelling. And that rest, I think, will help Luka quite a bit. And so I'm going to go with the Mavericks in 7. But I really don't personally care who wins it. My teams are already been eliminated from all of that. We talked about it earlier, but this is the big news in college basketball and the NBA. And, of course, if it ties to the Lakers, then everything else just doesn't matter. On the heels of back-to-back national championships at the University of Connecticut, Huskies head coach Dan Hurley has emerged as a priority target for the Lakers as they prepare to make an offer to him to become their next head coach. Lakers are preparing a massive long-term deal, according to sources to Hurley. They've had preliminary contact about the position already. Hurley's camp and Lakers are planning to escalate discussions in the near future. After leading UConn to a national title in 2023, Hurley signed a 6-year deal worth $32 million that makes him one of the top 10 highest-paid college coaches. Hurley is only 51 years of age. He led the Huskies to another title this spring, so back-to-back. First time anybody's gone back-to-back since Billy Donovan did it with Florida back in 06 and 07. But after winning the second title, Hurley and UConn, they've been in talks but have not yet agreed to a deserved new deal, even though he just got a new deal after he won one title. But, of course, you win another title, you get another deal. So the deal, hey, your new deal only lasts a year and you have a newer deal. But they haven't worked out that newer deal. And that would result in a pay bump for him and his coaching staff. So here's the questions. If Dan Hurley leaves and goes to the Lakers, if in fact that's going to happen, which I don't know. Sometimes I think people jump the gun on these reports. I'm not fully convinced he's going to leave, but we shall see. If Danny Hurley does leave, players have a 30-day transfer window. UConn is expected to be a top-5 team again next year, preseason maybe number one. And so the recruits coming in, the existing players, you know, what would they do? Who would be Dan Hurley's replacement here when we're already in June? And then that replacement comes in, takes over. If they're at an existing school already and have a job currently, then all of a sudden that school is going to have to scramble, and then those kids on that roster is going to be going into the transfer portal more than likely and see what's out there. It's going to be a trickle-down effect. This could be absolute chaos because every team in America would be interested in a lot of these players for UConn, including Kansas and Duke and Carolina and Kentucky. So, and of course, John Calipari's sitting there in Arkansas, right? So this is going to be very, very interesting, the fallout if Dan Hurley leaves UConn. And how about this? If you're UConn, you got to compete against the Lakers and a professional franchise. You probably don't have enough money to match what the Lakers want to throw at Dan Hurley if they're serious about having Dan Hurley as the head coach of the Lakers and then let LeBron coach the team anyway. And I think interesting, a college coach to come in to coach LeBron. I don't know how that's going to go. And I'm assuming LeBron's going to be there. I don't know for sure, I guess. I mean, LeBron, what is it, a player opt-out? So LeBron could, easily go somewhere else, from what I understand. Some people have been saying he's a free agent. I think technically he's not, but he hasn't technically opted out. Once he's opted out, he's a free agent, if I read that correctly. But and then, of course, he may just go wherever his son gets drafted, if anybody drafts him, which somebody will probably overextend their reach and draft Bronny James way higher than he should go because they think they get a package deal. And if that's the case, so be it. LeBron is 40. He doesn't have a lot more in the tank, I don't think. Maybe another season or two, although he's still playing well. But at some time, Father Time is going to catch you, and Father Time can catch you pretty quickly. So that would be, I don't know, I'd be putting a lot of eggs in one basket to basically, I don't want to say forfeit a draft pick, but yeah, you know, I don't think Bronny James is going to be anything close to his dad. Of course, who would ever be? You know, some people think that LeBron's the greatest, so nobody would ever measure up to his dad. But I don't know for Bronny himself if that's great to be playing on a team with his dad. I mean, I think it'd be cool, but I think there'd be so much pressure and scrutiny and everything else. Like, just let him be him, and if he's drafted, great, and let him create his own identity. But I understand, as a father myself, I've talked about on my bucket list, I haven't played competitive basketball and pickup ball in almost 10 years, but I have said if there's a night free and there's an open gym and my son's going to play, I might just come in and say, hey, boys, I'm on my son's team. I'm going to play one game. I'm going to cherry pick. I'm not going to play defense. You can get open shots. And my goal would be to make one shot and just be on the same basketball team, on the same floor with my son. And so I get the LeBron thinking about, hey, I want to play with my son in the NBA before I head out to pasture. I do get that. But I do wonder in regards to if that's really good for his son. And then there'll be a lot of people, you know, ripping him because he's not as good as where people might draft him because they're trying to get his dad on the team and leave the Lakers. So a lot of interesting moving parts to this whole Laker thing. And now you drag UConn into the mix, and UConn's sitting there going, man, we have a chance for a three-peat, and now we're going to have it blown up because of Lakers. It sounds like it's possible. All right, you football junkies out there, if you're tired of basketball talk, you're tired of baseball, you don't care about softball, and you don't even care about the Olympics coming up here this summer, then I got good news for you. The college football playoff has announced kickoff times and broadcast information for the upcoming college football playoff games. If you didn't know, it's the first time ever college football is actually going to truly be a playoff. Let's please stop. This will be the inaugural college football playoff. All these years with four teams, that's an invitational, always has been. It's been a misnomer all along. And, of course, people get fooled into thinking it's this big-time playoff. No, it's not. It's four teams. When every conference champion in America is not invited to this, and that major Power 5 or Power 6 or Power 4, whatever you want to call them now, conferences don't have their conference champion in the playoff. That is not a playoff. That's an invitation. So now we actually are going to have a 12-team playoff, which is great. And I can't believe it's taken this long to get there. They're going to make so much money rolling over hand over fist with this. And who knows, maybe they'll expand to 16 down the line. Now, what's going to happen, of course, the SEC's already sitting here going, well, we're 9-3. We should have a team in the 12-team playoff, because the SEC's probably thinking, hey, let's get 6 of the 12, or who knows how many they're allowed to have. But for you football junkies out there, 9 of the 11 college football playoff games, unfortunately, will be broadcast on ESPN, which extended the exclusive contract with the college football playoff. Two first-round games will appear on both ESPN and ABC, however. Two other afternoon first-round games are sub-licensed to TNT Sports. So Turner is set to broadcast college football for the first time in nearly two decades. Both TNT games will go directly up against NFL games, which is interesting. For the first time, postseason matchups will take place on campus sites in the first round, which I think is awesome. Seeds 5 through 12 will participate in the first round of college football playoff, with games taking place on the campus's higher-ranked seeds. Seeds 1 through 4 receive a first-round bye and play their first games in the quarterfinals. You can hear the controversy already, right? Why in the world does this team who's undefeated have to play a first-round game while this team with two losses SEC is the 4 seed? You can hear it already. No system's perfect. And people like to complain until their dreams come true. I love playing that clip on the radio from time to time. So, what this all means, ladies and gentlemen, and for football junkies everywhere, please pay close attention to what I'm about to tell you. From December 19th to January 20th, here is your football schedule. December 19th, the Browns are at the Bengals. December 20th and December 21st is the first round of the college football playoff. December 21st, Texans at the Chiefs, Steelers at the Ravens. December 22nd, 12 NFL games. December 23rd, Saints at Packers. Christmas Day, Chiefs at Steelers, Ravens at Texans, because who needs to celebrate Christmas with their family? Apparently not NFL players, right? December, and they start the one game at noon, so, you know, screw your family and don't worry about any kind of Christmas meal. Schedule it around an NFL game, because that is truly the American way. December 26th, Seahawks are at the Bears. December 29th, 12 NFL games. December 30th, Lions at the Niners. December 31st, to New Year's Day, the college football playoff quarterfinals. January 5th, 16 NFL games. January 9th, January 10th, college football semifinals. January 11th through the 13th, super wildcard round. January 18th and 19th, divisional round. January 20th is the national championship. It's usually been in early January. Now with the extended college football playoff, your national championship game will be on January the 20th. There's not too many days during that 31-day span where there isn't some type of big-time football. How about that? So if you love football, this is a great opportunity for you to sit on the couch and gain some weight, and then maybe start your New Year's resolution January 21st. Or maybe just wait till February with the Super Bowl. So, good news for you football junkies out there. If you're already tired of all the sports that are not called football, there is an opportunity for you. Of course, football is going to be starting sooner than later. We're going to have games in August. And then, of course, but you talk about some high-level football. You got some big-time games in December in NFL about every night of the week. And then you got the college football playoff to tie all that in. Intermixed with the NFL. In fact, in a couple cases, going head-to-head with the NFL, which I find is very, very interesting. I'd love to see the ratings of a couple of first-round college football playoff games versus the NFL regular season games. That would be very, very intriguing to me. So that is something to look forward to for the football junkies out there in the world that we live in today. Also, if you didn't hear earlier, big-time news, the Chiefs are re-signing Mecole Hardman, the Super Bowl hero that caught the game-winning pass to win a Super Bowl but didn't know it right off the bat. He's insurance, I would imagine, for Rashee Rice, because Rashee Rice more than likely will be suspended for his off-the-field situation with the racing he did in Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas, earlier this year. So that would be a little bit of insurance. He knows the system, obviously. Xavier Worthy, first-round pick. He signed and locked and loaded. That was as of yesterday or the day before. The Chiefs wide receiver room, you would think, is better than it was last year. Definitely better once Rice is back. And once again, we don't know yet if he's going to be suspended. We assume he's going to be, but we don't know if he is, and if he is going to be suspended, how many games would Rashee Rice be suspended to where the Chiefs wouldn't have him? But this is something we predicted from the very beginning when Mecole Hardman became a free agent, that of the free agents that the Chiefs had, probably Mike Dana and Mecole Hardman would be most likely to re-sign with the Chiefs. The only question about Mike Dana is how big of a market would be out there for him. Apparently wasn't as big as he thought it might be, so the Chiefs got him back, and they're happy about it. They've got Mecole Hardman back, which is insurance, and I'm okay with that. So, there you go. If you're a Chiefs fan, you got to be super excited. The reason the Chiefs won the Super Bowl was because that man caught a pass wide open in the end zone, Mecole Hardman. But he caught it. He should get credit for that. He could have choked and dropped it. He caught it and didn't even know what he had done. But then eventually was told by Patrick Mahomes, hey, dude, you won the Super Bowl. So, Mecole Hardman returning to the Kansas City Chiefs. 9:45 is our time, 69 degrees for the latest 8-Man All-Star Game info. It is all there for you, 8manallstars.com. Enjoy the rest of your day.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.